Honestly, it is at your lowest when you have to rediscover yourself. It is not now. And there is a saying that, when you hit your rock bottom, you found something solid inside. And I'll come to spirituality. One thing that I've learned about spirituality, if I've learned anything from a teacher, is in Hindi we call it anubhav, is experience. There is nothing more critical in your spiritual growth than your own personal experience.
Welcome to Inspire Someone Today podcast, a show where we dive into the stories and insights that has the power to create ripples of inspiration in your life. I'm your host, Srikant, and I'm thrilled to be with you on this journey of inspiration. The 8th of March is celebrated as International Women's Day, and we here at Inspire Someone Today celebrate Women's Day every single day. Bringing to you a Women's Day special of four women inspirers who have created carved an edge in their own journeys, in their own domains. It's an absolute joy and pleasure to have Charul Jaitley joining us for this edition of Inspire Someone Today. Charul is the co-founder and managing partner of Matiti Group. Amongst all other stuff she does, she is also a best-selling author, an international keynote speaker, mindset coach, and lots more. So without much further ado, it's my absolute joy to have Charul on the show. Charul, welcome to Inspire Someone Today.
Thank you, Srikant. It's a pleasure being here. You've said a lot of things about me, but you've not said it all. And I can't wait to continue the conversation as we continue to unravel who I really am.
We'll jump right in, Charul.
Sure.
How did this all begin? What was Charul's backstory?
So, Srikant, once again, thank you. I'm excited to, present my story through your platform to as many people as we can reach. Really, the purpose is to not just create awareness, but if there is a way that one can motivate even a single soul, I think it's all worthwhile. And my story begins in a small town in the north of India, in Uttar Pradesh. That's a state, in a city called Kanpur. Humble beginnings, born in a small middle-class family, was this sick child who was physically always struggling with health issues from very young days, but was a very determined soul and was always super ambitious. When I was a little girl, I wanted to be first in my class. When I was playing a sport, I wanted to do the best I could. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to do more. I wanted to travel more. And I think that just has been the grain of my structure all through my journey. If you ask my friends now, they will describe me as that. And that has been my authentic self. And I take a lot of pride in that because it really keeps me going. So found myself leaving UP or Kanpur very early in the day to study in Mumbai. I did hotel management. I graduated as a hotelier, worked with the likes of the Oberoi Group at the time. Then I flew to the Caribbean on an island called Curaçao, worked with the Marriott Group over there. Beautiful life, very lonely though, far, far away from the world. It's a small little island. My parents weren't too happy for me being so away at such a young age. And that's when Dubai happened to me. Dubai was the best of both the worlds. It was closer to home, but it allowed me the space to learn and grow because it's such a multinational, multicultural country or city. So my career grew beautifully in human capital space. That's my area of expertise. I was up until 2017, till I continued in my corporate role in my day job. I was the global head of human capital for a strategy consulting firm. So I was looking after their 42 country operations with around 15,000-16,000 staff, flew around the world, did beautiful things, learned together with the team. But there was always that authentic Charul who was trying to, shout out from within saying, hey, we've done this, what more? There's so much more you can achieve, what next? And the vision was very big. And to be honest, as much as I sound, all sorted and figured out right now, it is a journey. I had to go through my own upheavals. I had to go through my own commotion in my head and my heart to figure out what was right for me, because it's not easy to leave your very high paying, very plush day job to start your own business. But it's a choice one makes. I made that choice in 2017 when we founded Matiti Group. And yeah, everything else is history. So I'll take a pause here. Tell me which part of the story aligns with you and I'll elaborate more.
tiny pieces of it, let me kind of jump into the element of making choices, right?
Yes.
You did mention about having those humble beginnings, starting from the city of Kanpur to where you are today. And it's all about making choices. You uprooted yourself from that city to Mumbai and then to multiple locations.
Yeah.
How does all of this change come in? What has these changes made you to be as a person?
Resilient, more grounded, more humble, more appreciative of the differences, more accepting of others. So all in all, a more inclusive way of living and leading life. And I think that's beautiful, because my journey has allowed me. And, you know, one does not necessarily have to hop on planes and continents to be in the place that I am. I think in today's day and age, you know, with access to the social media content, to people, to influencers, one has that depth of information sitting in their living rooms, right? But what is critical in all of this is the willingness to go through that change. If you're not willing to make a choice, if you're not willing to expand your knowledge, and more than your knowledge, expand your understanding of life, then you can have all the access to whatever it is that you want and more, and not even, you know, move the bar 1%. So I think I'll give myself the credit for wanting to, or willing to take that risk to make those tough choices, knowing very well, because, you know, after a few choices that you make, you know, you failed at some and you excelled at the others, right? So when you are now ready to make that third or the fifth or the 10th choice, you know, you could be on this side of the bar or the other side, but you still have the courage to do what you know best without creating any negative impact, knowingly or unknowingly, on your surroundings, right? So if you do right by yourself, I think the outcome will surprise you.
That's a good one. Good call out. Doing right by yourself. And I'm sure along this journey, Charul, you had those inner talk, the inner chatter, that would tell you, saying that, Charul, this is not the path. I'm sure you're going to not succeed. How did you handle those inner chatters? What came to your aid to manage those inner chatters?
You know, now you've kind of pressed that nerve in my hand, right? Now, like, I just have to like pour it out now, because the inner chatter or the inner chat or the inner dialogue, people call it in different names in different ways, right? It really is nothing but your higher self wanting to speak to you. And without going into the understanding of what higher self is and who we are and what's the difference, I don't want to get into that, because that really requires a few more hours of discussion. But if you want to touch the tip of the iceberg, let me know and I'll speak about it. But the point of the matter is that we all know that there is an inner voice. Let's just call it inner voice for now. We all know that when we make a decision or when we have a thought, there is something that guides us. Now, when I was younger than who I am today, I did not listen to it. Not that I did not trust it, but my brain was supercharged. My brain was overpowering my day-to-day as well as every decisions that I was making, right? There's nothing wrong or right about it. I allowed my brain to take over. I allowed my brain to believe it has control over my life. And which is when I made some choices. I made some decisions along my journey over the last 18, 20 years. And I talk about it in the book, and we'll touch upon that, where I could have done better if I was more understanding of my heart as well as I was understanding of my brain. So, you know, your mind and your heart are two entities that are given to us as tools, but I was only using one tool and I was, you know, kind of mixing up the balance of scales, right? So I do not want to sound all righteous saying the inner voice guided me and I made the right choice and I was listening to it, because I wasn't. And that awareness came way later in my life. It came only 5-6 years back, which is when I realized that my heart is also there and it's guiding me and giving me a different perspective to making a decision, while my brain is giving a certain perspective. And I want to be very careful, and nothing is right or wrong. They both are important. But it's like, you know, when you make a corporate decision in an organization, if the CEO keeps saying what he has to say and keep implementing, it might not go well in the organization, because, you know, there are the board members, heads of the departments who have some say as well. And if you take everything into consideration, the decision will be very well rounded, right? So I'm using this analogy because I really want to emphasize both the pieces are very important. So yeah, it was 5-6 years back, Trikant, long answer to your question, but when I understood that there was more to it than meets the eye in terms of me as Charul, every person is an individual, and I started to heed that advice. And in the workshops that I do around the subject, Trikant, I explain it in a way that if you start doing yoga, let's say, if you're a gym-going person, right, and you suddenly say, hey, my friends are doing yoga, I want to do yoga. Now, when you do yoga, your stretches and bends are different than what you do in a gym, right? So in the next few days after you start yoga, a certain muscle starts to hurt. And you're like, damn, I did not even know I had this muscle in my arm, right? And our intuition, our inner voice is like that muscle. We know it exists. If we do not exercise it, we will not bring it to the place where it can help us make those right decisions. It's like if you do not work out your arms well, you cannot lift those weights. Similarly, if you want to hear that inner voice, if you want to get that direction and advice, we have to trust it more. We have to try it more. We have to exercise it more.
True that. And again, coming from a point of view of now that you have accomplished so much in your career and life, looking back, some of these things makes a lot more sense. From that standpoint, it's easy to talk about passion, purpose, how all of this makes sense because you have seen the results, success has followed you. What if that was not the case? Would this still be making that much sense or would you look at it in a different way?
Wow, that's a beautiful question, right? Very, very nicely structured. The good thing is I've been through both the sides. So I've been on this side of the coin and the other to respond to that. So thank you for the question. You know, it was not too long back, just 4 or 5 years back when I was really at my lowest. I was from every dimension of life, from my work life to my personal life, to my physical life, to my family life. My whole being was falling apart. And it's easier said than done to apply what I'm applying now in my life and sing my beautiful story to the world saying, oh, this is how it's done. But I have lived through it and not from one aspect of challenge in your journey, but from multiple and not one after the other, but simultaneous. So imagine you are making a work decision which does not support you while you're grappling with a family issue, while you're also overcoming a financial challenge and you have a diagnosis that you have to fly in for an emergency for a very complex operation. All of that just kind of like a whirlwind and you do not know which way to fly, right? And you're just flowing in every direction and life is just kind of beating you up every possible way, right? And honestly, it is at your lowest when you have to rediscover yourself. It is not now. And there is a saying that, you know, when you hit your rock bottom, you know you found something solid inside because it's rock bottom, it's solid. So there's something solid down there, right? And leverage it to allow you to bounce back in life. And I think knowingly or very unknowingly, I found my rock bottom. And with the grace of my teacher, my guru, and all the guidance I received, I was able to bounce back. And bounce back in a way that I continued to surprise myself. I really rediscovered myself. But the good thing is that allowed me to find and understand myself better, that I can be so much more powerful than who I really think I am. So yeah, it's been a journey. Yeah,
that takes a strong-willed person to kind of know what the rock bottom is and to kind of bounce back or bounce forward from that particular place. Were there any specific activities that you did, specific advice that you received that worked in your favor? How did you sense that was a rock bottom?
Mm-hmm.
And two, what did you make in order to move away from that strata to a different strata?
Okay. I did not sit and strategize all of this. I did not have the time. I did not have the energy. And to be honest, I was so confused in my head to sit and configure my life. And that's the honest, naked, brutal truth. And I don't want to sugarcoat it because then I'm misleading the listeners, right? I knew I had to fix it, right? I knew something was not working out. How to go about it, I did not know. And, you know, a lot of people who talk about mental health and well-being and whatnot, they say, oh, focus on the why, don't worry about the how. And that's, in a way, from a strategy perspective, very good. but it is the how where most of us get stuck, right? How did you do it? How did it happen? How did you think about it? And the answer is, I did not. As much as I did, I did not. So there are a few things, right? And listen to me with a very open heart, because, you know, I am a very left-brained person as well. And we spoke about the heart and the inner voice. I'm going to touch upon those elements because they are critical. They're crucial for your overall well-being, right? What happened when I was going through all of that is, one was somewhere an awareness came that I was not doing something right with my life. That somewhere my life needed a course correction, which is why a lot was falling apart in my life. So that awareness came, so I understood why it was happening. What to do about it, how to go about it, I did not know. What I started to do was I started to seek help and guidance, which was not my true self, because I always believed I have it all figured out. Super ambitious, highly charged girl, right? I was like, no, I need help. So I had to ask for some kind of an assistance. The third thing was I had to prepare myself. So if everything is falling apart around me and I try to give in, it's like, you know, when you have a tornado and you don't hold on to something, it will take you with it, right? And then you will go where the wind goes. So the long answer to your question is I had to find my anchor. I had to find something that I can hold on to when the storm was blowing me apart, right? And that anchor came to me in a few forms. Or let's say the anchor continued to grow stronger and stronger as my awareness became better. So awareness really was the start of it. When I became aware, I knew I had to do something about it. So I started seeking help and guidance. When awareness came and the knowing of, you know, seeking guidance and assistance came in, the solutions started to appear. And the solutions came in the form of my spiritual teacher. I got connected to him. I got connected to certain modalities of healing, which enabled me to come out of my physical problems. More importantly than anything else was my inner state. I was in such a low state, Shrikant, that no matter, I don't know, the Queen Elizabeth landed with a Kohinoor in her hand, and I would sit and criticize that too, right? I was just in a state where I could not be appreciative of what was happening around me. And if it's okay, I want to very quickly touch upon, you know, what happened in 2021, which was my aha moment, right? So 2015, I was going through a lot of medical crisis, and I found myself running to India for a last minute surgery. It was a very complex surgery and they cut my stomach open like a book. I was in for like 6-7 hours. I was, I was at my lowest self, like I was saying. I was feeling like a victim. I could not stop crying, cursing myself, my life, my fate, my family, my decisions. It was a very difficult time. I came out of that surgery. They put me on steroids and whatnot to recover. I put on so much of weight. I started looking and feeling like a different person. And then, you know, all the things that I spoke about in terms of anchor, in terms of finding my spiritual guru, who's known by the name of Maitreya Dada Shriji, they all appeared and, you know, they started to fix me up bit by bit. But my challenges did not end. 2021, when I thought my health was getting better, a diagnosis came and it was much more scarier than what it was in 2015. And again, we found ourselves packing our bags. And this time, the diagnosis looked so bad, I thought, this is it. I might not ever come back. So I landed in Mumbai, and within 48 hours, I was in the OT. And this time, it took almost 9 hours long surgery. But the difference this time was, I was prepared to go through it. I did not go into the OT crying and yelling and cursing my fate on myself. There was a knowing, there was an awareness that if this is happening to me, this is my experience to complete. This is my learning to finish. And when I came out of that operation, Shrikant, because I was sedated for so long, it was almost 36 hours before I woke up, right? And my husband was with me just through COVID times, so the family could not visit. It was just the two of us. And, you know, he was getting very emotional. And I remember telling him, if my God, my teacher, my life loves me, how much I know they love me, and they're putting me through this, then I know there will be beautiful surprises for me in the near future. And somewhere I know, and I've quoted this a few times, that was my aha moment. That was like, okay, stamped, she's finished her learning. Okay, carry on. And that's when the floodgates opened, right? And the crown came in less than 45, 50 days. And the first book came, the second and the third. And, you know, my public speaking, which I was attempting to, you know, promote, it just excelled in the direction that I could not have fathomed. And life started to blossom around me. So a bit of a long answer, sharing of an experience and an episode in my life. But I think it's important because those are the things that shape us and make us who we are. And that was my aha moment.
A font. I think as you're sharing this particular story, two or three things that you kept repeating, I want to kind of go a little deeper onto that. Nowhere did I hear you mention about why me, why did it happen to me? I think it's so easy when things like this happen to play the victim card. I didn't sense you playing the victim card at all through that entire journey that you just narrated. Second piece that you spoke about is anchors. Would love to know what those anchors are, if you're okay to share it with the listeners out here. How did that anchors play a role? And very subtly, you also made references of spirituality having a role to play in your transformation as well. So if you can quickly touch upon these three elements, why playing that victim card is not going to help, and how do you kind of see it from that perspective? What were your anchors? And how did the whole spirituality pan out?
Sure. So the first bit, which is the victim card, right? My answer explanation to this is very simple. So I give you two options. One is play the victim, or the second is not play the victim. And do it for your own self and tell me what makes you feel better. Do both, because, you know, and I'll come to spirituality. One thing that I've learned about spirituality, if I learned anything from a teacher, is in Hindi, we call it anubhav. Is experience. There is nothing more critical in your spiritual growth than your own personal experience. It's not based on someone else's experience of that emotion, but it's your own, the authentic experience, right? Which is why I'm giving that option to the listeners. So play the victim card, see how it makes you feel, and then take my advice and not play the victim card and tell me how that feels. Now, what I can warn you or what I can prep you with is, when you play the victim card, it will be easy. Why? Because we're used to it. Because we've seen others do it. Because it looks like a comfortable space because everybody has been doing it, and that you will get a lot of sympathy and attention. But if you do the latter, which is not play that victim card or gain sympathy, but be aware of what's happening to you and take ownership of your experiences along your journey, your mind and your heart will find it difficult to grapple with because they're not used to you behaving like that. So they might challenge you. They might, you know, trick you into saying, why are you coming to the unknown area? Let's go back to the known area. We just play the victim card, shed a few tears, make it look like everybody else's fault. Your life, your stars, your fate, your God, your family, whatever, right? Your colleagues, it's easier. But if you do the latter, know that you are more in control of your life because you're not allowing others to decide what's right or wrong for you. So my honest advice to everyone is try it for yourself, see it for yourself. When you make a change, like any other change, this change in your thought patterns, your response mechanism to, you know, things in your life, your day-to-day life, it will be challenging. But know it will make you a stronger person, a more authentic person. Your other question was the anchors, right? I do like a 2-day workshop on this in helping people understand their anchor and identify and establish those anchors for themselves, right? In corporate life or personal life, right? So it's not very easy to respond to your question in 2 sentences. But just again, going back to my previous analogy, right? If you are caught in a whirlwind, you want to be able to hold on to something. What you hold on to would vary from me to you, from you to the first listener, the second, and everybody else. However, the concepts of an anchor are true to each one of us. And my suggestion to the listeners is to find an anchor in 4 core areas of their life. One is your household. The other is your work. The third is your social circle. And the fourth is for your own self. And if all these 4 anchors can be one, which is where I want to take everybody to, then that's a beautiful place to be. It's like having 4 kids to manage, or one, you know, very sharp, intelligent, you know, well-rounded, well-groomed child, right? It's easier to manage, right? So again, not a wrong or right approach. but you can start with having. So how do you define an anchor in work life, for example? The anchor in work life could be a person. It could be an activity that you do. It's a project that you undertake, or it's a skill set that you have. It could be any of that. And each one will have to find their own anchor based on their personality type, right? Similarly for work, for your home and your social life, right? And for your personal self, what is that anchor? And for me, to be honest, finding that personal anchor was the turning point, because with this, I'm going to very nicely caveat into a spiritual question of yours, because that's where my spiritual journey started. And there's a little bit of a backstory to that. So give me a minute to quickly take you through that. So this was after my 2015 surgery, when I was recovering from, you know, the aftermath of that surgery. It was very difficult on me. And, you know, just imagine you are the way that you are and you look the way you look. You are married, you would have a baby, and you're surgery has diminished your chances, and you're struggling, you know, with your emotional self, with your physical self, and all of that, right? And in the bargain, you're putting on a lot of weight, and you're taking too much time off from work, so work pressure is mounting, and colleagues look at you in a certain way. So it was all of that, right? And there came a point where, because here I was not able to anchor myself in any aspect of my life. Nobody came up to me. There was not a podcast I listened to, and the concept of anchor did not happen to me. So I was like that uprooted leaf from the, you know, branch of a tree, which was just free floating everywhere and getting whipped around, right? Which is when I one day was coming out of a doctor's clinic after a report post my surgery, and the report did not look good. And I was in a very bad space. I was tearing up. I was crying. I was howling inside my car. This is in Dubai, and I was driving around very randomly. Didn't want to go home. Didn't want to talk to anyone. And my eyes got so red and swollen up, I could not see clearly. So I just randomly parked my car somewhere. I was like, what is going on with me? You know, I have to get a hold on myself. And I was at that phase in my life, Srikant, where, you know, you would see a yoga session happening somewhere. You want to go do that. There is a meditation happening somewhere. Because I was figuring out, I was seeking, I was looking, right? And I was just enrolling for every possible program because I wanted some answers, right? So I was standing in my car, all red-eyed, trying to gather myself so I could drive back home. And there on my phone, a reminder popped up saying the meditation that you booked for is about to start in 10 minutes. You know how those reminders come from Facebook, right? From different groups. So I was like, what is this? I'm rubbing my eye and I open that and look at the location, and it says the location is 200 meters from where you parked. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, okay. I wanted to be with strangers. I did not want to be with anybody I didn't know. And I just wanted to let myself, you know, low. So I decided to go. And when I was in that, I entered that ashram, I entered that, you know, yoga center in Dubai. And that was my first session with Maitri Bodh Parivar, which was founded by Maitri Dada Shriji. And that was my introduction. I did not even know it at that time. My introduction to my spiritual guru. And it happened so beautifully. So now when I look back to it, it's like, you know, my life kept nudging me. It's like, can't you see? I'm sending you somewhere. Go there. So we spoke about inner voice, and we spoke about whatnot. And it's very beautifully coming together through our very natural conversation here. So my inner voice was guiding me to a certain place for the longest time. And my life had to put me through those circumstances because I was not listening, to come to the point where I reached my so-called the destination for that time, right? And after I met Maitri Dada Shriji, my spiritual journey started. And I want to be cognizant of, you know, how we package spirituality, how I package my teacher here, because there's a lot of misunderstanding around this. And to be honest, when I started my journey, I had many questions. I came out of that session never wanting to go back again, because my brain was challenging me to another level. It's like, are you so desperate that you want to do this? And what good would this do to you? Because again, going back to those two elements, right? We have given this so much of power that it wants to tell us this does not exist. Nada, it's dead. But I'm telling my brain, no, it exists. I want to awaken this. And if I want to do that, my brain is saying, no, how can you do that? I'm in power, right? So we have to kind of overcome that battle. And very, very briefly, what I've understood, if I've understood anything about spirituality, is of course, it transcends religion, gender, nationality, culture, all of that that we know. But it really is awakening your heart, awakening your true self, finding a balance between your logical mind and your, you know, natural inner self, and understanding life based on your own experience, anubhav. That is the bottom line.
Wow. I think in that short duration, you touched upon so many different elements of it. And these are all serendipitous moments, isn't it? We have had so many conversations on the podcast where we have discussed this with a lot of the guests. Is you can always connect the dots backwards. You don't know why something happens when it happens. But in retrospect, when you think about some of these things, oh, this happened for a reason. And some of the stuff that you mentioned is exactly that. Thank you for being very authentic and vulnerable in sharing some of those personal moments here, because it means a lot when you are hit that rock bottom, like you said. Watch out for those cues. The cues are there. It's just that we play the victim cards that we don't get to see those cues, right? It's just that we don't believe, like you beautifully said, anubhav, the experience. You are kind of designed to experience in a certain way. You're not challenging yourself to experience in any other way.
Yes.
So these are some of those moments, isn't it?
Oh, believe me, yes. And I'm only touching the tip of the iceberg with a few of those experiences, right? And I want you to, when you're ready, lead into the book where I can talk more about it, because that is my gift to whoever would read it. It's me literally spelling my life out in the simplest way I can.
We'll get there. Before that, sure. Like I said, we are celebrating this month as Women's Day celebrations.
Yes.
And one of the stuff that I have been asking a lot of our women inspirers coming on the show is breaking taboos. In the career that you have had so far, what are the myths that you had to kind of deal with, and how did you overcome?
So people who know me, I like to go with the flow, right? So there was no preparation per se for this podcast as well. So when you said two, the two that kind of come out now are top of the charge right now, and they might be different on a different day, right? But today, what I can think of is breaking the taboo around perception versus reality, because perception can be very, very subjective. And I'm trying to put it across from the context of work life as well as personal life. So let's say a young girl from middle class family from a small town in India who's not traveled to X number of countries or whatever, holds a master's from the UK, is the youngest member in the leadership sitting in, you know, boardroom in Dubai. When you walk into that room, you know, with the stares and the glances you get, that you're being judged. You know that. And one thing or one way of dealing with that is pretending to be somebody else, if you know where I'm going. That, you know, no, I'm better. No, I'm good. No, I can do this. When you get into that vicious circle of pretension, it's a downward spiral, right? The other is being your authentic self, which is very hard because you have to break the molds in the eyes of people who are already looking at you in a certain way. But the good thing is they don't mean unwell. They're conditioned to look at you like that based on their understanding of your culture, your background. So again, it's a process. You have to go backwards. You have to peel it backwards. And when you know the intention is right, when you know your authentic self can only disrupt the initial understanding of who you are, but lead you into a good outcome for you and for the others, then it's worth the while. And all the structuring of my thoughts and understanding came after making a few mistakes. Right. So one taboo is that, right? And I think in today's day and age, it's more relevant because we all are not confined to our country or our people or like-minded people. We all are exposed to multicultural, multi-geographical, other way of defining it. But the audiences we deal with on a day-to-day basis is quite diverse, right? And the expectation is that you understand them already, right? So one is that taboo. The other taboo is more around the way we conduct ourselves. And I say it from a feminine perspective, right? A lot of people have given me some unsolicited advice earlier in my life around, oh, hustle, hustle. And, you know, women have to work twice as hard to prove themselves. And, you know, if somebody's speaking, you have to talk louder to be heard and all of that. And I thank them for their advice, because that allowed me to understand what I didn't want to do. Right? So when I talk about taboos around that, what I have learned is, you know, when we rush through things, yeah, it only gives us a perception that we are going faster, right? So rushing will only make you feel that you're going faster. It's just an illusion we create for ourselves. The taboo that I want to break, you know, in the mindset of women especially is, please follow your pace. If you want to have a baby, if you want to take a sabbatical, if you have other priorities for family and otherwise that you need to deal with, believe me, the world will respect you for those choices. And what brings that respect is that you respect yourself, that you trust yourself in making that choice. Yeah, believe in yourself, and hustling is overrated. In fact, if in a day you can find 20 minutes to be by yourself, go inside. Believe me, you will find more beautiful and clearer answers than by rushing and hustling. So no good or bad way. This is the way I've figured myself out. I've seen a lot of people benefit from it who I've advised and coached. So this is my advice, right? Let's break those taboos around working, you know, 28 hours in a day, or hustle, or as a woman, you have to work twice as hard or longer hours. No. Be your authentic self. Believe in your decisions. Slow down, if you may. Go in, you know, inside, and yeah, get those answers that you seek, rather than rush to find other person's rendition of the answers that you need.
Beautiful. And the good part of this is, it's coming from a space of you experiencing it yourself. And now you are in charge. As part of Matiti Group, you can make a lot of these things happen for your colleagues, for your employees. So how are you now wearing the CEO hat? What are you doing, or what is your plan to break some of these taboos?
Wow. You're doing a fab job. Let me just give you credit for that. You're kind of navigating the conversation beautifully, and some very, very interesting and witty questions. So when we started our Matiti Group, so I will not take the full credit for it. It is me and my partner, my husband. We started the business together. And I think I need to write a book on that, how couples start a business together, because it's been quite an interesting ride, to say the least. So what we wanted to do was, when we were setting up the business, was we wanted to leverage our authentic skills and, you know, experiences. So when we set up Matiti Group, we started as a consulting firm. Now we are four verticals strong. In Srikanth, we have Matiti People, which is dedicated to people services. So we do a lot of interesting work around leadership coaching, leadership alignment, culture alignment, mental health, employee well-being, navigating HR through mergers and acquisitions. International keynotes happen through that. We do very bespoke work around gender equality, diversity and inclusion in organizations. So if you see, all the topics that I'm talking about through people are the areas where I knew when I was on the other side of the table, there were gaps. So nobody spoke about mental health. The taboos around, you know, gender equality and diversity and inclusivity. So I'm bringing all those discussions to the table. Organizations which are mature, who are already having those discussions, I help them navigate through my coaching and my workshops to, you know, kind of advance that agenda within their organization, each at their own pace, right? And then is awareness around my journey, and kind of creating any inspiration that I can for anybody who needs it, is where all the work around the podcast, the content that I create and publish, the books that I'm publishing, is happening through that. Matiti People is focused on all of that. We have Matiti Green, which is our sustainability app. And under Matiti Green, we have a few ongoing projects, one of which is Global Tree Planting Project, where we are leveraging blockchain and AI to make tree planting absolutely transparent, accessible, and to be honest, traceable. So every tree by tree is recorded, captured, and monitored. You can chat with the tree. There is an AI chatbot. You can track and monitor the growth of the tree. They align with the UN SDGs. So you see the impact you're making. So it's a lot of engagement happening through the platform.
I must say that's a very cool feature. Hats off to whole conceived with that particular idea.
Thank you. And then we have Matiti Capital, which is our trade financing arm managed by my partner. And we have Matiti Tech, where we do a lot of interesting work around technology, which is focused on AI and blockchain. So going back to your question, right, as a founder of the business, one, why did I even want to do this, you know, leave a high paying job and do this is because you wanted to, at a personal level, leave a legacy behind, create something that people could benefit from. And on a professional level, it is more about doing something that you know is a gap through the years of work that you have done in your past.
We are continuing our conversation with best-selling author, international keynote speaker, mindset coach, Charul Jaitly. We are here in the Power of Three round. The first of the Power of Three round question, Charul, to you is, what are the three advice that you would provide to your older self? Not the Charul, the younger self, Charul, the older self.
Nothing is permanent. Let the life flow. It will get better. Do not let the world tell you who you should become. Be authentic for your own self. Three, every bad day passes. It's not, for lack of a better word, it's not the end of the world, but really go through the change because it will only let you become stronger than who you really are.
Good start there. Three tools to be a confident individual.
Finding your anchor, staying grounded, and constantly growing.
What do you mean by the third one, constantly growing?
We cannot put a glass ceiling for ourselves saying, oh, I have done and achieved everything that I wanted in my life. We can never be sure. I mean, there are miracles that have happened to people when they were 80s and their 90s or even older, right? So do not let age or your qualification or a title at your workplace define what your glass ceiling is. Keep breaking, keep shattering those glass ceilings for yourself.
Keep shattering the glass ceiling.
Yes.
Three things on your bucket list.
Wow. To ensure that my book sells over 1 billion copies worldwide, my current book, and then I have many more coming. That's one. Two is to create a mechanism where I can alleviate illiteracy, especially among girl child. I talk in the context of India, but I see it happening in other parts of the world. I want to be able to contribute and alleviate that in whichever way I can. And the third thing is, it's very personal, but it's about my spiritual goals, my spiritual growth. And that is being in total sync with my inner self. It will take a long, long time.
I'll not ask you to explain that, but I have a sense that you have a sneak preview to my next question.
Okay.
My next question was, what are the three insights that you have gathered from your spiritual guru?
Thank you. Thank you for this question, right? And I give credit to my guru, Mitra Dada Shriji, for all his teachings. So one is, which I have kind of repeated through the podcast, is be a product of your own experiences, right? So learning, reading, acquiring a skill, all that is good, but applying it to your own circumstances and experiencing it is going to be instrumental in your growth. So let your life be an outcome of your own experiences, not reading and understanding it from someone else's experience. That is one. Second is the authenticity, right? Be authentic to yourself and to others. Because just analogy again, right? You are trying to swim upstream all your life, right? You're going against the flow all your life. It gets tiring. It's daunting. It's exhausting, right? So if your life is saying go north or go south, just try and go with the flow and do so authentically. Because when you do that, you will gain pace. You will master the art of swimming and staying afloat, right? So a different analogy, but I hope you get the point, right? And the third and the most important is around giving back. Because our existence has a prime focus for each one of us, which is to do good for others. So as much as we want to do good for ourselves, I think somewhere, somehow, and it doesn't have to be big or small, and let nobody tell you what is right or wrong. Even if you feed a stray dog something in a week, that is giving back. To be honest, if you allow your friend to lean on your shoulder and cry, is kind of giving back, right? So there is no right or wrong way of doing it. There's no definition to it. But offer yourself without expecting anything and help somebody around you. So giving back, for sure, very, very important.
So very true. I'm sure when this episode gets aired and if your guru were to listen to this, he'll be immensely proud of his disciple.
Thank you. I'll make sure it reaches him. Thank you for saying that.
Continuing with our power of three round questions, Charul, the next one is, apart from your book, what are the three book recommendations that you have for our listeners?
Wow. Okay. One is the book by my teacher, Maitreya Dadashriji. It's called The Cause of Suffering is the Lack of Love. Okay. It's on Amazon. The Cause of Suffering is the Lack of Love. The other book is, which really was game-changing for me, was Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yoganandaji. And there is a book, you have to excuse me, I'm forgetting the name of the book, but I remember the name of the author. It's Amanda Lang. I think it's The Power of Why. I've read it so many times and I've read so many books in the last few years. So listeners, look up for Amanda Lang, her bestseller. That's the book I'm talking about.
So the last of the power of three round question coming to you. What are three micro experiments for effective self-management?
Okay. I think the first one for me, or an advice to the couples, is to learn to appreciate each other. And even if you're living with your siblings, your parents, or whoever it is that you live in, or surround yourself with at work. And I say that, right? It's you're never too nice or never too important to be nice to others, right? So be nice to others. The other important thing is around appreciation. Oh, the first one was that. Second one, I would say, is around your overall well-being, what you eat, how you take care of yourself. So the food you eat, the amount of hours you sleep, the water you intake, and most importantly, the time you spend with yourself. So find those 10 minutes. Do not have to find a cave and leave your life to meditate, right? You can do that in your bed while your spouse or your kids are sleeping. 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever works for whoever, find that time for your own self. And the third and more important thing is, and I've said this before, is continue to grow. And, you know, I'm reminded of that picture, you know, when you have all those sharp pencils, right? And there is a pencil which has been completely used and it's completely lost its, you know, its edge. So the saying goes, if you are too sharp, then you have not been used enough, something in those lines. The point is, if you look not too sharp every day, and that requires you to learn a new thing and hustle a bit, then that's okay. If you see people, you know, traveling the places on social media, having great Christmas holidays and eating expensive dinners, that's fine. You're only seeing one side of their life. Do not let that bog you down. If you're having a low day, if you're feeling burnt out, that's fine because you're paving your own path. You're creating a story for your own self. So go through that emotion, go through that challenge, but continue to work on yourself.
Nice. That's why this is called as micro experiments.
Yeah.
That small appreciation, those 7 minutes time with yourself, that small little investment in your own growth,
yeah,
is all it takes for one to kind of grow, take care of the self-management.
Yes.
So moving on, we did touch upon a couple of times about your multiple hats that you're wearing. One such hat is you being an author.
Yes.
And acclaimed at it, I would say. So tell us a bit about what is eye to eye with I. That's a very catchy phrase, I must say. So tell us a bit about eye to eye with I.
Sure. So eye to eye with I, very quickly, is a personal project, is a spiritual project. And it's me kind of ticking that third box, the three things which are in my bucket list, which is paying it forward, leaving a legacy, doing something for others. So this is my effort in doing that, right? And somebody was asking me in a different podcast the other day, right? That, you know, when you talk to leaders in an organization, they perhaps hear the word spirituality and they want to run out of the room, right? Because there is a certain stigma attached to it, the way it has been packaged in the past. And I was like, they have no escape from me. If they do not want to hear it from me, I will give them a book. If they don't want to read it in the book, they'll hear my podcast on Spotify. If they don't want to do that, my article will come in a newspaper. So, and you know, it's like the GPS on a phone, right? If you put a location, there's not a single way to get there. If you take a detour, you go take a left more or right more, I will make sure you come back to it, right? So the purpose of the book really was to be as vulnerable as possible. Not that I wanted to do it, because my life showed me so many flavors and emotions and learnings in my journey. I wanted to package it in a way that it serves as a beacon of light in whichever way it can to anybody who needs, you know, to light their path in whichever way, right? And when I started thinking about the book, it actually happened after I won the crown, right? So after I became Mrs. UAE International in 2021, I got invited by two publishers to contribute my story in their books as a chapter. And I always had this inner urge to write my story, but I think I needed a nudge, and the universe presented me with an opportunity. So I wrote those two different chapters for those two publishers, and I received a lot of good feedback about that writing, which then encouraged me to write more. So what happened was, and again, I'll go back very, very gently toward my spiritual journey, is I was going through a lot of experiences, like the few that I shared earlier in the call, right? And what I was doing was, wherever I was experiencing those, I was making a note of that. Sometimes it was a WhatsApp to myself. Sometimes it was a voice note. Sometimes I was making a Word document. I was just parking my experiences here and there. And then one day I decided to put them together, and I saw they were like 5,000 words. And I was like, huh, it's shaping up into something, right? And very, very briefly, my meeting with my spiritual teacher, Mitra Rabishriji, was supposed to happen in 2017-18 when I first encountered him. But it did not happen up until 2022. So I was going through a lot of upheaval, you know, like a child who is deprived of something, right? Like, are others more important? Why is he not making time for me? You know how you start to mismanage your own emotion. So when I got the first opportunity to meet with him, I was like an overwhelmed child, right? And by then, what I had done was I had printed on an A4 sheet the cover of the book, which looks like this, right? So I had put that I, and the title was already there in my mind. So I put the title not so nicely. It was just an A4 sheet, and it was lying on my workstation. So I put it in a, you know, a folder. And when I traveled to meet him, I showed it to him, and he's like, "What is this?" And I'm like, "This is a book I'll write. Can you bless it?" And he did. And then I came back and I made an internal promise that when I meet you next time, I will bring this book to you. And I was like, okay, the first meeting took 5 years, the second meeting, maybe another 10 years. I have a lot of. And he was playing with me, or my life, or my mind, whatever was playing with me, right? So this happened in September 2022. And now we were in February, March 2023. And I got an invitation to meet him again for some work. And I was like, damn, I had promised him, not said to him, but I promised him that when I meet you next time, I will write this book and I'll bring this book to you. And you know, sometimes they say ignorance is bliss, right? I did not know what it takes to actually print a book and have it. And I did not get caught up in the how. I was very focused on the what, which helped me, right? It's a beautiful story to it for another time, perhaps. But what happened then was I broke down, which happens very rarely. And I was like, sorry, I will not. And I'm a woman of my word, right? And I was like, I'll have to break my word. I'll not be able to bring that book. And please excuse me, this will not be done. And everything started to change within 24 hours of that, of my breaking down and surrendering. So what I was trying to bring out to you is sometimes it's good to surrender. And I surrendered my problem, right? And then the universe in very miraculous ways helped me. So the next day I got a call from a friend who was going to a workshop, a book workshop by a publisher, a renowned publisher. And she's like, I know you've been wanting to write a book. Do you want to come? And I was like, yeah, I'm not doing much. And I'm actually hurting when it comes to book and writing. So I just went with her, the publishers, you know, I've done this and we have published those many books. And very sheepishly, I raised my hand. I was like, I have a question for you. And they're like, yeah, go for it. I was like, I want to write this book in 7 days. Can you help me? And they looked at me in a way I don't want to explain, but they accepted the challenge. They're like, if you write the book, we will help you publish it. Everything else is history. So I came back home that night and I decided that I'll write. And Shrikant, this book is around 55,000 words, 60,000 words, and it came out in 3 days. Without saying much, I want the listeners to take away what they can from this. Is it resilience? Is it agility? Is it surrender? Is it believing in things that do not meet the eye, perhaps, right? In the universe, in energies, whatever it is, take away what they want, but know that there is so much more than what we understand of life, right? So that's a little story behind the book. And the book really is, like it says, eye to eye with eye. And This was my learning for myself, right? How am I looking at myself when I'm going through troubles? Or how am I looking? And, you know, again, the victim card, or which way am I looking at my life, my problems, my challenges? So am I seeing myself eye to eye with myself in the way that I want the world to see me, right? So this book is really is my story, my narration, and my guide or toolbook for others to benefit from. And here it comes out.
And so, this book is available on Amazon.
It's available on Amazon worldwide.
Well, after having all of those things, I dare to ask this, but nevertheless, I will ask you, what's next for Charul?
Wow. Look, I've always told you, I keep upping the bar for myself, right? But then what's next is, it's a few things, but one which really is from my heart. And something which I've been dreaming of, me and my partner have been dreaming of for a while, is setting up a foundation. And the purpose of this foundation is going to be multiple folds. The key focus is enabling underprivileged children, right? Whether it's education, whether it's food, or whether it's sports. Because, you know, there are many unfulfilled dreams when it comes to sports, especially in India. So we want to be able to create that sports scholarships. For kids who cannot afford to consider that as a career because they get pushed to only finish their education, right, and not explore that side of their life. My personal passion is, of course, a girl child, to enable suitable schooling for, or minimum schooling for girl child in India and in other parts of the world where, you know, kids are not privileged to receive this basic right. And then, of course, provide food to kids wherever possibly we can. So it's going to be like a multiple pronged approach through the foundation. And it's a registered foundation already. So we have ticked that box. So next year is going to be time for action.
What a noble gesture.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good stuff. Good Just stuff.
Give us your well wishes. Yes.
Well, Charul, there are some conversations that you don't want to end. This is one such conversation.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you so much for bringing your whole self to this conversation, being your authentic self and sharing such wonderful stories. This show is all about creating ripples of inspiration. Before you and I sign off, what's your Inspire Someone Today message for all of our listeners?
Everything that I've said through the last 1 hour, 15 minutes that we've spoken is all around failing and learning and rising again and, you know, experiencing life, right? So I just want to say, you know, failing is going to be a part of your journey. So failing is a part of learning. It's not an end in itself. So take failing as a part of learning, learn from it and bounce back. And I think if you learn the art, or, you know, understand the trick behind what life is trying to put in front of you, you will emerge stronger. And while you do so, always, always remember to lend that hand to somebody who you see is sinking. Because when I was sinking, I struggled to stay afloat and look for a hand, and I could not find it, which is when I think my master appeared. But let's help each other in whichever way we can. So do not feel scared of hardships. And if anybody can say this, I can say it with an open heart. If there was no hardship that I'd gone through, you will not be interested in talking to me. I'll have no story to tell. It will not make me the person who I've become. So know that it's life is pushing you, nudging you to become a better person. So just go through that. Enjoy the flow. Enjoy the ride. Don't give in. And always, always offer that hand to anybody who needs.
Absolutely. Life is all about pushes and nudges. That's what creates a masterpiece. Yes. And as you create the masterpiece, do not forget to pay it forward. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Inspire Someone Today. This is Srikanth, your host, signing off. Until next time, continue to carry the ripples of inspiration. Stay inspired, keep spreading the light.